If you believe it, let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again that you are all about preparing the hearts of your people when the seed of your word is sown so that it is not thorny, it is not hard, it is not distracted by the things of this world, it is not divided, but it is soft and it is fertile. Father, I thank you that we live in a country where we are surrounded by agriculture. We understand the pictures of your word, that the ground that is prepared, the soil that is good, bears much fruit. The concrete soil has the seed that is sown, hits it, it bounces off, the bird takes it, and there is no change. God, that is not who we want to be. Before we begin today, I thank you that you have heard every prayer, preparing the hearts of each one of us in this place for what you're going to do today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take literal possession of me again. You would possess my mind, my mouth. You would flow through me, that I would only say what I'm hearing from you and do what I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seeds that are going to be sown. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. I bind up every demonic voice that would distract what is going to be sown. And Father, by faith, I thank you that you are speaking to your sheep. I thank you that today, as we have this time, you are going to be saying words that are not going to come out of my mouth. You will be depositing your rhema words specifically inside of those who have ears to hear. Father, let them hear it, let them capture it, and let them be changed by it. We truly believe one word from you changes everything. And so thank you in advance for what is going to be sown and captured and take root and bear fruit today. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody expecting said, amen. Not last Sunday, because we focused on the solemn assembly last Sunday, but the two Sundays before that, we began by looking, as we're heading into the brand new church year, September is always the beginning of the church year, began looking at the areas in the body that we have opportunity to bless and minister other people in. I shared with you how a number of years ago God had to do a renovation in my life, because in my family life I was an 80-20. I took my kids and us 80% went off and enjoyed, while I left the 20% Jane to do all of the work and all the responsibility of the family, and we enjoyed it and she was worn out. And as God began revealing that change needed inside of my home, he began revealing to me that I was an incredibly dysfunctional spiritual leader in this church. That I was a pastor who empowered the 80-20. Empowered 80% to do virtually nothing and allowed 20% to be almost burned out. When God began revealing that to me, it required a change and a shift. And as I've told you before, there were some who were very open and they saw it and they said, absolutely. And there were those who said, are you kidding me? I love being part of the 80. Don't you expect me to lift a broom, to clean a toilet, to set a chair? And they were able to go and find other churches where they could remain an 80. God laid upon our heart to be 100-100. I will quote again, and I will quote, I think, until Jesus comes back, the words of Cassandra Goddard, who made a statement and said, when I grew up in our home, my mom said, you use it, you clean it. That's radical, isn't it? We talked about the movie theater mentality that exists in a whole pile of people in the church. They walk in, they make a mess around them, and they expect the little people with brooms and uniforms to come and clean up after them. That mentality is no longer in this church. I gave you a couple pictures One of them was we brought 10 chairs in the front, had 10 people stand behind. I had 5 people put them all on Ione and 5 people put them all on Seth when he was here, and Ione wouldn't pick them up. But we got the point. When 2 people carry the load of 10 people, they burn out while the other 4 don't carry any. 2 weeks ago, I brought in and I had a cane. I had a set of crutches. I had a walker and I had a wheelchair. And we talked about how every church could be represented by one of those. The 80-20 church is a church that is a wheelchair. The person has 80% of their body parts are not moving, and as a whole, to move them, they need somebody behind pushing, and that is normally the pastor. Pushing churches in a wheelchair, because as a whole, they are so incredibly dysfunctional. And the cry of our heart was, God, we don't ever want to be a wheelchair church. We don't want to be a walker church. We don't even want to be a crutch or a cane church. We want to be healthy, running, every member knowing its part and doing it. Today, I need to share one last picture with you, and then we are going to finish off on our ministry list today. I got to tell you, there are some scenes, and you know this as well, and I want to tell you psychologically, the way memories are made is when you have an experience attached to an emotion. I would like you right now, how many of you could tell me what you had for lunch last Tuesday, what you had for lunch, describe everything you had. Could you raise your hand and tell me? Okay? Why do you remember? It's a sandwich he eats every day. So there's no emotion attached to it. It's repetitive. Right. There is no emotion, right? No, not those sandwiches. Why do you remember, David? He didn't eat. That's right. So he ate air for that day. Dean, why do you remember? Didn't eat. When you have an experience attached to an emotion, that is when you have a memory. Let me say this. When it's a positive emotion, you have a memory. When it's a negative emotion, you have a memory. That is why people who have been wounded as young people and it's never been healed, they will remember that to their grave unless that is healed and undone. And praise God, it can be. But there is experiences we have that are branded inside that we will never forget. I want to share one of them quickly with you. Ron and Dennis, could I have you guys go and grab those 2 16-foot 2x6s, and could you bring them to the front here? About 4 or 5 years ago, had an opportunity to take 10 of our church family to Africa, and we went with the agenda of doing a number of things. We were building goat pens. We distributed over 1,000 Bibles. We built a couple churches. But one of the amazing memories is when we went to Masai Mar, which is a place that we see on National Geographic where they're wearing all the traditional. Where are you guys going? Come back up here, would you please? Just read it. Yeah. Yeah. They're the ones that got the tattoos or the earrings. They're the ones who have the big holes in their ears. They're the ones, I mean, we see it. That is, it's amazing 2 hours out of Nairobi how you can step back into the third world. Nairobi can be first world, but this is going back as far as you can go back. Let me tell you, one of the cool things as a team, we actually went to a village where no white people had ever gone to their village in history before. We were the first white people. Can you imagine? When we went there, one of the things that we had felt the Lord was leading us to do is to build a church. And this wasn't a tent church, because we had done one of those in Nairobi in a slum of 80-some thousand people in a slum. This was a literal church, wood, cement, all of that. We ordered the material. The material came there, arrived on the day that we got there. The truck was able to drive up to 1 mile away from where we were building the church. The truck came, went to the school. We unloaded everything inside the school so that it would not disappear. If we left it outside, we'd come the next morning and all the material would be gone. We put it inside the school. The next day we came back out, And the first job we had was to transport from the school to walk across a pasture with cows and goats, go down across a river, climb up onto the other side, and on a beautiful hill, build the church. Our first job was to be donkeys. So, we picked up the boards. Can you guys pick them up? Throw it on your shoulder. Just hold it up there. There were 10 of us. 6 men, 4 ladies. We went. We had piles of lumber. We had bags of cement. We had everything needed. We went to the school, we loaded up, and we began the mile journey back and forth and back and forth and back and forth in the nice, cool African weather. Right? We have pictures. Didn't put any up today. We have pictures of us doing this. I'll tell you, it was amazing, but something happened while we were doing this, going back and forth, that absolutely impacted us, moved us to tears. We were absolutely, as we began hauling, we began looking from the church down, and all of a sudden we realized that the school, during recess time, the children came out, went into the storage area, began picking up lumber, began picking up the work supplies, and began making the 1 mile trek back and forth with all of our material. Some of the lumber was so heavy. What was the greatest amount of kids we saw? 5. There were 5 children who were carrying the lumber because it was so heavy. Little kids on their back were packing it over the pasture, down through the river, up all the way, and then landing it on our work site. I will never forget that as long as I live. I got to tell you, one of the thoughts that went through my mind is that if this happened in North America and our children came out of school and saw people packing lumber, instead of coming over and picking it up, they would go, "How stupid are they?" And they would go back to their video game. We watched and we were apart. We were so impacted. We went back, and almost all of our team had the ability to carry material with our little new African school kids. I will never forget the impact on all of our lives. Building the church was beautiful, but experiencing the heart of those kids who lifted the load from us was amazing. I want to show you, if you guys can put that down now for a second. You guys can have a seat, thank you. I want to show you what maybe some of you have never seen before. Linda, if we could have number 2 turned down as well. How many of you have ever seen an old-style barn moving? Old-style barn moving. Yep, about 7. Somebody tell me what that is. What is it? That's it. So in the old days, this is how they did it. They lifted it up, put poles, and then they had guys on each side of it who lifted up the poles, and the building moved as they all went. I want to show you a clip, and I just encourage you to go online sometime later today and just Google in old-style barn moving. There's one of them you're going to see where people got together, 366 men and women, lifted up an old-fashioned barn like this and had the thing, lifted it up, moved it across. It was amazing. I want to show you one because the Amish were known for this. And they were known for it because why? They didn't use big machinery. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have the big motors. They had to do what they could with their physical bodies. I want you to see a clip of something that almost looks surreal, but I want you to get it inside of you, and you'll know why in a minute. Just watch this.
On Saturday, March.
How many is that cool?
On Saturday, March 9th, members of.
How many of you volunteer? Move a barn with me? Yeah, both hands. That's awesome.
Over 250 Amish men.
I want to show you something, a picture, just to get it inside of you. I need 10 people to come, men, women. 10, could you just come to the front? Doesn't matter. If you don't come, I'll come get you. First 5 of you, can you take one board and can you stand up in this other side here? Next 5, take the second board. You guys can stand right along here. We need one more on this one. Tej, can you join them here? Need 3 more. Joy, that's great. 2 more. 1 more, that's awesome. Kelly, that's great. Sorry, Linda. Sorry, you're out. Sorry, yeah, I know, yeah. You did it 5 years ago in Africa. You don't have to do it here. Okay? Can you guys come back here just for a second? I want you guys to stand right there. You guys, just come and stand right along here. You guys come and stand on this side right here. Right here. Okay, come over here. No, you hold it. I'm not holding it, man. Okay, whoa, right there. Whoa, right, that's good. That's good. Okay, come to the end over here. Eric, if you can just come over here, spread out a bit. That's awesome. I want you to get this picture, okay? I want you to imagine that the church is a barn. The church is God's barn. This is what God is saying. This is your building. I've called you to move. I've called the church to be alive. There is a purpose for the church. And so in order for the church to do it, you need to lift this thing and move in the direction that I have for you. I want you to imagine that every person in the church is on the board, on the poles, and has the ability to move the church to do what it called. Now, here's what I want to show you. I would like, Kelly, if you would go and have a seat. Teej, if you would go have a seat. If you go have a seat. Ken, if you go have a seat. Eric, can you go have a seat? Liz, can you go have a seat? Dennis, would you go have a seat, Dennis? No, can't drop. Sheree, would you have a seat? Okay. The question I want to ask you, when there was five of them on the one board, we know this, how tough was it? How tough? Not tough. I don't know how much a board weighs, but the reality is, you break it up into five. You look at on that screen there, when you had all those men, you ask any one man, they said the most amount that any one of those men carried was 80 pounds. I want you to imagine for a moment on that screen, if 80% of the men who are carrying that barn just decided to go, you know what? I don't feel like being a part of this barn move. And they drop their pole, they drop whatever, left 20% holding the weight of that barn, and they had to move. I'll just ask you really clearly, could that barn ever accomplish or get to the point where it's supposed to with 20%? I'll say it to you really clearly. The church will never, has never been able to, will never be able to accomplish what God has for it with 20% doing the work of the church. This is the picture. You got 80% who are sitting and 20%, man, these are giving people. These are, they are servants. They have awesome hearts. They will give up other stuff in order to come and do what God's work is. How long till they burn out? I'd like the two of you to stay standing there while I preach the rest of the message.
Jesus.
Jesus. I've told you before, there isn't one problem that couldn't be solved by the rapture, right? Boom! There you go. Did you get the picture? Can I say it to you really clearly? This is the image of the vast majority of churches in North America. This is the picture, the 80-20. And the majority of the 80% are totally fine sitting in the pew while 20% are sweating, laboring, getting tired, burning. They're totally fine. But as of 13 years ago, not here. Would you lay those boards right down on the ground? Let's give those two a hand. Can we do that? Linda, can I have you punch up number two again? How many of you have this sheet with you? The blessing opportunity sheet? We began about a month ago. How many of you do not have that sheet with you? Josh, could I have you? Anyone with their hand raised? Eric, could I have you? Anyone with their hands raised? Could you hand out one? When we handed these out, I asked you not to fill out, not to check any of the items on the list until we went through them all. Because I wanted to explain briefly the different ministries of the church. I wanted you to take it, and I wanted you to pray and ask the Lord and say, Lord, where do you want me to be a part? I'm not overly interested in where you can be a part, because some of you could probably do all of these other than maybe one or two. That doesn't interest me. What interests me is where the Lord is saying to you, this is the part in the body that I want you to do, be involved in. This is your area of ministry. This is where I want to bless you, and I want you to be a blessing in the lives of other people. Are we out? Need some more? Kate, when to get some? I think I have two more here, Eric. Sorry, they're called for right here. As soon as Kate has some more, we'll get them for you. For those of you who have them, just look at your, just hand them out, look, hold them by your neighbor so they can have just a quick look until they get to them. 4 weeks ago, I went over the first four, the greeter, the gatekeeper, communion, street evangelism, and media. We ended up talking that day about me changing my presser switch. Some of you were here that Sunday talking about stepping into areas that we have never been in before, doing things we've never done outside of our comfort zone. Let me say, in all of these areas, the call of leadership is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. The call of leadership is not to do the work of ministry. The call is to equip the saints. Can I just make this really clear? If you are a parent, your job is not to do all of your children's work. If you clean up their room, you will empower dysfunctional kids. If you wash their dishes, you will empower dysfunctional kids. I remember the Lord said to Jane and I, you are not responsible for your children. You are responsible to empower your children to be responsible for themselves. That was our job. Do you know there have some parents who've done all their children's work and they have raised irresponsible, lazy, dirty, sloppy, I don't know how to do laundry, I can't even carry a dish from the table to the sink? Are you serious, generation? Yes. That's why I believe the parents should go to jail, not the child. But let me tell you, a lot of pastors have done the same. They have empowered dysfunctional children inside the church doing what all the church people are meant to do, but they have done it, and as a result of that, they burned out. I asked you this before. How many of you knew pastors that burned out? A pile of you. And can I tell you something really interesting from a pastor's perspective? I know there is no pastor indispensable, but I can tell you church after church after church where pastors have burned out, that person poured his life out doing more than he ever should have. He burned out. He left the church. Within a few months, they had another pastor. That pastor was forgotten, took 6 months or a year or 2 years. Coming back, they got another pastor and carried on again. We're a great church. We can burn out one, and he leaves, we can burn out another one. That's awesome. They'll just keep coming until they get a healthy one who reads the verse properly, going, the call of the pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist is not to do the work of ministry, but it is to equip the saints. It is to empower the body to be responsible for the work of the church. Some of you remember Brian and Nancy Stiles. Do you remember? Pastor Brian went through burnout, came to the church, as did many pastors over the years. They came here to heal. They came to restore. They came to get out of the burnout, to get back into a place of ministry. When he was called again to Delia, Alberta, on his installation, they phoned and said, Pastor Colin, would you come and would you give the message that night? I said, I'd love to. Being a part of his restoration and healing, it was an honor to go and to reinstall him into the church. Guess what message I preached in Delia at the church on his installation? I said, let me tell you, Pastor Brian is here not to do the work of ministry. You should have seen the faces. It's like, who is this speaking? It's like I was swearing at them, going, we're hiring him to do the work so we don't have to. That was the mentality. I said, he is not here to do the work of ministry. He is here to equip you to do the work of ministry. If they could have thrown me out. They couldn't throw me out because I was leaving right after I finished speaking. Who still needs one? Zach, can you just hand them out? All the hands bunch up here, back there. I went over the first four, the greeter, communion, street evangelism, media. The week after that, we went through the whole area of prayer, looked at the hub, talked about the difference, the changes that are happening with the spokes, talked about the healing room, intercession, the prayer network. We're going to finish off on the areas we haven't looked at. Would you go down to number five? Number five is church care and preparation. One of the questions that is asked almost every year is, why don't you guys hire a janitor? Have you ever thought that? How would you answer? Well, we can't afford it. No, that's not the answer. This is a blessed church. Why don't we hire a janitor? You use it, you clean it. Now, I just want to say this really clearly. I've got nothing against churches that hire janitors. If that's the way the Lord leads you to go, you do it. You want to empower the movie theater mentality, hire a janitor. No problem. I told you before about the church in Hawaii that every person in their church who wants to be in leadership, all the way from the janitor all the way up, the first 6 months they do is on bathroom detail, toilet detail, including the pastors coming into the church. Do you know why? Because they want to make sure that there is a heart of humility behind every minister, whether they're on praise and worship, whether they're serving communion, whether they're the pastor, or whether they're the person cleaning the church. They want to find out if there's a heart of humility. We found out in this church, we had a few people who said, "Are you asking me to clean the toilet? Forget it." And never did. And shortly after disappeared. And I doubt have cleaned a toilet since. Because there are spiritual parents out there who will not make their children clean a toilet. Just like there are physical parents who will allow their child to use the toilet every day and never go, "You use it, I'll clean it for you, sweetheart." And then those young men end up getting married to women whose husbands won't even drop a toilet seat. And when they miss, and it's all over the floor, never once think about taking the bucket, going in, and cleaning it all up. Do you know why? Because mommy taught them that the woman will do it. I know I'm not speaking to anybody here. But I want to tell you that mentality has existed in the church for a long period of time. I will never forget when we began this, the 100-100 principle. We broke everybody up into the church in family groups. Those family groups were responsible for looking after the church on a monthly basis. Everybody came in on a rotation. They did it. We had one family from Africa who was here for a short period of time. He was here doing work. They were part of the church. Everybody was in it. We had a visit with him, and he goes, "I don't understand." He goes, "The people who are going, we don't want to do this. We don't want to clean the church. We don't want to wash the floor." He goes, "I don't understand." He goes, "It is a blessing of the Lord to be able to prepare the place of worship on Sunday." He goes, "There is such a blessing. How can they miss out on that?" I thought, what an amazing mentality. Why do we have to go to Africa to get that? Because the Western mentality has never been that the spiritual parent trains the kids. It has been the spiritual parent does the work. I want to tell you, when I was a kid growing up in our church, I will never forget, I was forced to be at some of the congregational meetings as a young boy. So all of us kids who were forced to be there, we'd go up in the balcony, we'd play around on the balcony while the meeting was going on. Any of you ever been a part of an annual meeting where they had hollering and fights? Any of you, just raise your hand. How sad, right? I remember one of them where it got pretty heated down below, and so we stopped playing, and us kids were hanging our heads over because this was kind of like exciting, right? But I remember we had one man stand up. He was an older man, and he made this statement. It was branded in me like asbestos. He goes, "Pastor, we do the paying, and you do the praying. That's it." And he sat down. That's the church I was raised in. That's probably the church some of you were raised in. Until the parent gets healthy and said, "I'm not washing your dishes. I'm not picking up your clothes. I'm not cleaning your bathroom. I'm not straightening up. I'm not making your bed. You use it, you clean it. You use it, you look after it. I will empower you to be responsible, but I will not be responsible for you and allow you to be an irresponsible teenager, adult, married man, divorced man in the church." Every week, we don't have a janitor because every week we have people who come and their ministry is to come and prepare this church for worship. The vast majority walk in, walk out, never think about what happens in the washroom, the kitchen, the chairs, the stage, the carpet, the whole deal. We walk in, we enjoy it, we walk out and go, that was fine, don't even think about it. Somebody else did the work. I would like you to pray about in the area of church care. If that is something that you are able to do, I want to tell you, when we had family groups, we had entire families who brought their kids along because they were teaching their kids in the church, 100-100, everybody does it. We had little brooms made specifically for 2- and 3-year-olds. They came, the parents said, here, take the broom, you start sweeping. There were seniors who could hardly work that came to the church and said, give me a rag. I am part of this family. I will not sit by and let someone else. All I can do is wipe chairs. That's all they could do was wipe chairs. But guess what? I'm wiping chairs. Another image I will never forget is in Israel when Dennis's Elizabeth in a wheelchair at the Messianic school with a paintbrush and a bucket painting in the hot sun because she would not sit by and let someone else do it. She got it. I want you to pray about that. Would you look at the next one, usher? We're at a point where more and more we are needing to have security going on, especially when the children are in class. All of the regulations, all the children having to leave, have to have somebody with them. Can I tell you, there are churches that actually have security guards that are armed, ushers that are armed. Because there are those churches, have you heard of those churches where people have come in during the service, they have come in, they have had stuff on them, they have killed the pastor, killed the rabbi, they have shot, they have done that kind of thing. Praise God, we're not in that kind of a place. But can I tell you, we have had people walk in the door, they've gone through our kitchen, they've gone through coats. You would never think that would happen. Unless somebody is at the back making sure everybody comes in, is checked, hi, what are you doing here? Oh, could I take your gun? Go and have a seat. The ability to answer questions, the ability to deal with issues, the ability, if somebody goes off demonically inside here, to be able to take them out and minister to them so they don't disrupt. Have we had that happen? You bet we have. And so I would like you to pray about that role of ushering. Making yourself available to be a person who can help people find where they're going. Make sure that things are happening properly. Make sure our children are protected. I would like you to write that down. Would you look at the next one, one-on-one discipleship. Jane, could you go to the office and just quickly grab the blue book, the one-on-one discipleship book? One of the statistics that has just overly impacted me. How many of you saw Billy Graham live? Live. Yep, not on television. Live. You were in the auditorium live. Raise your hand high. Live. Some of us. I remember 18 years of age. I was 18, working in Westlock. Do you remember we got the bus at the Norseman Inn? We drove to Edmonton, did the conference, or did the service, came back. The one statement about Billy Graham, I mean, led millions of people to the Lord, right? 4% of people who received Christ at a Billy Graham crusade, 2 years later, were still walking with the Lord. 96% were no longer walking with the Lord. Can I ask you why? No follow-up. In spite of the fact that they train for follow-up, they train churches, they train pastors, 96% fell through the crack and were no longer walking 2 years later. 4% stuck. Can I give you one of the names who stuck? Jesse Duplantis, after one of his stoner guitar-playing nights, went to his hotel room, turned the TV on. Billy Graham was on there, ended up sitting down, gave his life to the Lord that night listening to Billy Graham. It stuck in Jesse Duplantis. Aren't you glad it stuck? Let me tell you what did not happen to most of them. I remember the Lord showed me, he said, Cole, imagine for a moment when you and Jane had Malachi, that was your first. When they're born in the hospital, we had the nurse carried Malachi outside the hospital and put him into our car. We could not carry him. Nurses, why? Why aren't we allowed to carry them in the hospital? Liability. If we're carrying them and we trip and baby falls and something happens, we can sue the hospital. They will not let you carry your baby out. They got the baby. We're walking behind. We got all the other stuff. We go down. I pulled the car up. Jane's coming out with the nurse. They put the baby in the car seat. Can I tell you, this is so crazy. They have no clue if we're going to be great parents or if we're going to go and boil our child. They have no clue. But their responsibility ends right there. I remember the Lord said to me, Cole, can you imagine you and Jane taking Malachi home, taking him into the nursery, putting him in the crib, and saying, son, grow up on your own. How long would he live? Can I tell you, that's what happens in the church over and over and over, where spiritual babies are born, they walk into a family, and the mentality is, just grow up on your own. Learn how to feed yourself. Learn how to change your own diapers. Learn how to become, just grow up on your own, instead of having a spiritual parent who's with them and empowers and works with them to grow. Can I tell you one of the things that has, when we first came 26 years ago, one of the very first classes that we ran with our church of 20 people that grew to about 26 in about 2 or 3 weeks, one of the first classes we ran is a one-to-one discipleship and said, we as a church are going to grow. We're going to have new babies coming into this place. We need to be ready for them. If you want to be trained to have a baby come with you and you pour into them, you come. We had 6 people sign up. One of them was an ex-nun. This ex-nun left the nunnery in order to marry a pastor. Her and her husband pastor were in the church. I took them through the one-on-one discipleship course. At the end of that course, she made a statement. She said, I learned more through this book than I have in my entire nunnery and my years as a pastor's wife. She was 70-some when she took it. I thought, that is quite a statement of approval of this discipleship program. I'll tell you honestly, we've had seasons in the church where we have been very strong with brand new babies coming in, hooking them with an older believer, and taking them through a discipleship process. I just want to ask you, one of our disciplers, Patricia, this is a 9-week course. What was the longest time you had with one of your disciplers getting through this? 2 years. That's not because Patricia's not a good discipler. That's because in the context with a brand new baby, she built relationship, and this was a springboard that went into every area of this new believer's life as she laid a foundation. They walk out of that going, if that is the only thing we do is pour into those new babies and give them this foundation, that is more than happens in most churches. I'll say it clearly. This is one of about 6 things that no believer should ever try and live the Christian life without this foundation. We got to get back to this. I'm going to ask you to pray about 2 things. Number 1 is if you need this in your life. But number 2, if you would make yourself available to have a brand new believer joined with you and you walk through this, let me say it again, if you can read, you can do this. I want you to pray about it. I'll say it clearly. This is an area that just because you want to volunteer doesn't necessarily mean you will do it. This is an area that we will screen to make sure that you are the right person with the right person. But I want you to pray about it. Would you look at the next one? Praise and worship. How many of you believe what you experience every Sunday, Wednesday evening, praise and worship is an important part of your Christian walk? How many of you believe that? Yeah. How many of you don't? Just raise your hand. Yeah, we all do. Even those of you who never raise your hand on anything. We know that worship is powerful because the reality is we are transformed by what we worship. As we worship the Lord, we are changed to become more like Him. Worship, for those who understand it, is powerful. Worship is a powerful part of this ministry and this church. How many of you have been to churches where there is no worship or the worship is less than? How many of you have been there? Yes, we've all been there. I want you to think again in this area of worship. All you see is on the stage. You see the instrumentalists. You see the vocalists. You don't see that at the back. The sound is part of that. The worship, the media is part of that. We talked about that before. But I would like you to pray about. Some of you have gifting in this area that has sat dormant for years and years. Some of you have never stepped into this going, gee, I love worship. I don't know this is for me. Can I tell you? This is one of those areas of ministry. We bring you in. We interview you. We have a talk with you to find out your background. We even try some of the things to find out to make sure it's a good fit. But worship is an important part of this church. I want you to pray about whether that is an area that God wants you to be involved. Would you look at the next one? Practical helps ministry. One of the things that God has called every church to do is when there are needs inside the church that we are to be able to help one another. I want to ask you a question. If I said to you, I'm going to point out one person right now in the church and I would like you to tell me what it is that they are needing help with they can't do on their own, how many of you would have full knowledge of any other person and what their needs are right now? How many of you would have full knowledge? Almost none. Part of that is normal because we don't go around telling everybody, hey, I need this, hey, I need this, hey, I need this. Some do. There are some people who lay it all out in their sleeve and go, I'm needing this and this and this, and just expecting. They were the ones whose parents did it all in their home. But in a family, a spiritual parent is very aware of what is going on in the lives of most of the children and going, you know what? There's things that they need help with. Let me tell you one of them. How many of you women have ever been to a mechanic shop on your own and were taken advantage of? How many of you? Yes. How many of you men have been to a mechanic shop and taken advantage of? Yes. How many of you have never been to a mechanic shop? I want to tell you, I didn't learn this in seminary. I didn't get it in Bible school. They didn't tell me that when I enter into a church that I'm going to have single ladies or seniors who come and go, Pastor Call, I got problems with my vehicle. Would you be able to phone and take it in? Because when I did this last time, they told me I had like $3,500 worth of work and all I needed to do is change my windshield wiper. We know the story. On my list at the mechanic shop used to go to, they would punch it in, and there were how many, Dave, on my list? You guys would comment every time. 30, 40, 50 names, vehicles of people who would phone. I would take them in. I'd make sure it got done right. I would take it back to them. I'd pick it up, take it back to them. It was awesome to do that, but the reality is that was just one of a pile of areas of practical things that people needed in their life. Somebody phoned and said, you know what, my gate has fallen off, there's a screw out. Could you or somebody come and help me do that? I go, absolutely, that's what the family does. But can you imagine if 100 or 200 times a week somebody phoned and said, Pastor, could you come do this? And I go, yeah, I will. Can you imagine? As compared to going, yeah, they phone the church and go, I got this. We go, no problem. We have a practical helps ministry. We have men and women who made themselves available when something happens. We give them a call. They would love to. That's their ministry. They want to come and bless you. They're going to come and change your tap because they can do that and they know you can't. We're going to bless you. I would like you to pray about whether or not that is an area where you would like to bless the lives of other people by making yourself available, going, you know what? I can do that. I can rototill your garden. I know you can't anymore. Why? Because I'm 85. Okay, that makes sense. Practical ministry. I would like you to pray about that area. Would you write down, would you look at lighting right underneath that? Lighting. How many of you know throughout the course of the service, how many of you have ever counted how many times the lights go up and down? How many of you counted that? Yep. Linda, thank you. You have. How many of you have gone to churches where you've counted the numbers of tiles on the ceiling? How many of you have done that? Yep, I've done that too. We used to do that in church. When it got really bored, we'd count tiles. It was really cool. The other thing we used to do as kids is we used to go to the front. And we used to shoot back through all of the pews because they were awesome when you're laying on the floor. Front to the back while the church is going on. Don't do it here. Lighting ministry is a ministry where people are trained to be able to go specific times in the service when they know other times. If it's just spontaneous for me, I will go, Linda, I will go, whoever. Would you go back? Would you turn on number 2? Would you shut down number 3? Would you turn on number 5? Would you do that? That is a part of it. Somebody the other day said, how come you guys have no windows in your church? I went, because I guess there's no windows in the church. This was a roll-a-rama, right? Wasn't built to be a church. But here's the interesting. Brand new churches, their sanctuaries are made with no windows. They're made with no windows. Can you tell me why? Two reasons. One is, if the sermon is boring and you have a window that's open, guess what? So if there's no window, even if the sermon is boring, you're likely to stay more attentive because there's no bird flying or deer walking by. The second reason is because in churches, multimedia is such that it requires totally dark settings. They will shut it down. They will turn it up. They will do mid for certain kinds of prayer or ministry. They will turn it totally up when the teaching happens. They'll shut it totally off so when you're worshiping, it's dark and the person beside you can't see, which sets you even greater freedom for worship. The lighting does not just happen. It's a ministry that somebody says, I'm willing to be trained. I will be a part of this. I would like you to pray into that. Would you write down Welcome Center? Don't write it down. It's already there. Just look at it. Welcome Center. A couple of years ago, we put at the back an information Welcome Center. So when people come in, that at the Welcome Center, any questions, they have the ability to go during the middle of the service when they need to go sign. There are times we have specific people. We would like to get to a place where we have someone at the Welcome Center every morning, every break time, and every after. So if there's any questions, any sign up, any money, anything that needs to happen, somebody is back there and has the answer to your question. Not that you have to know all the information, because you will be trained in it, but you will be back there. Again, this is one of those where when you come, just because you volunteered doesn't mean you will be there. Some of you, to see your face first thing in the morning would be, I'm not going to that church. Have you ever heard the statement? If you're happy, tell your face. Right? There are certain people, when you see them, you just light up and it's like, wow, they're happy to see me here. There's other people, it's like, why are you flipping inconveniencing me? Just go to a department store. You'll find them both there, right? Churches are no different. We have Welcome Center because when you come, we want you to feel welcome. We should put Inconvenience Center because you're inconveniencing me by coming here. I'd like you to pray about that area. That is why when we talked about the greeters at the door, those who come in, I'll tell you, they are chosen because they are the first faces people see. The greeters we have, when they walk in, their faces are light. They are there. They give you a hug. They are just so welcoming. They just make you feel like you belong, that you they want you here. That's why they're there. Not, it's coming again, brother. It's coming again. Some of you would need training on your face, but we can do that. But I'd like you to pray about it. Would you look at altar decor? We have had this at the front here since March because for filming, for editing on YouTube, for doing the whole deal, we wanted to have a backdrop that was consistent. What you will have noticed before is that the altar, and we will get back to it, where the altar is changed decoration-wise on a monthly basis, where we have things up on top, the sides, decoration depends on the season. Again, that is not something that just happens. There are people who come in and they take the time, they are creative, they put it all together so that you and I have the ability to enjoy the creativity on the stage and on the front. Some of you have that gift. It amazes me. I knew a fellow who could walk into a house and it was disaster. He could look at the house and he could see the finished product. It was amazing. Some people walk in and all they see is what is. We could never live here. Look at that wall. That carpet is dirty. That door is hanging off its hinge. Like it's always going to be that way. But that's all they could see. Some of you have creative juices that are flowing through you in the area of artistic. I'll tell you, the church would be blessed by your gift. Would you look at the next one? Grounds maintenance. How many of you hire someone to come and cut your lawn and to pull the dandelions? How many of you hire someone to look after the grounds where you live? How many of you? None of you. Why? Let me ask you this, one other one. How many of you, when you get home from work, you go, I can't wait to get home because I want to go out and I want to look after the grounds around my house and yard. You just, I can't wait. How many of you? Look at those people. There are some of you who are like that. The majority of us look at you and go, I need a pill to make me happy like that. We have a church. We have grass. We have grounds. We live after the fall, which means we have weeds. We have grass that we refuse to fertilize because when you fertilize grass, what does it do? It grows. Why do purple people fertilize their grass? Why? If you want more work, just come and talk to me. I can find it for you. I know why some of you do it. I know why you do it. You're just weird. But I would like you to pray about. We have a church that requires in the summertime outside looking after. In the wintertime, it requires outside looking after. Some of you love that kind of work ministry to transfer over and go, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I am going to look after the church and the ministry of the grounds. I'm going to do that. I would like you to pray into that. The other side is on the inside. Grounds ministry is on the outside. Jump down to building maintenance on the inside. This building, some of you, and I'll just make a point, how many of you have counted how many dead lights are in the church? How many of you counted that? Other than my wife. Can I ask you this? When a light bulb dies in your home, who changes it? Who changes it? Just raise your hand if you're the changer. Raise your hand. Yep. Raise your hand if you got someone else who comes in to change it for you. Are you saying that I come in to change it for you? Because I'm outside and I'm coming in. Oh, I see. Yeah, never mind. Thank you, Jane. Good to have you today. Really good. I want you to think about it too. Okay, this area. As we use things, my dad used to say, things only break when you use them. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You got a car, it's awesome, just park it, it'll never break. Just park it, it'll never break on you. When you use it, the lights burn out. When you use it, the chair breaks. When you use it, the faucet leaks. When you use it, what happens? We do maintenance in our home, there is maintenance in this home. Some of you have the ability to bless the house of the Lord through your gifting to go, when there's something needs, just give me a call. I'll come and do that maintenance. That's part of making the church work. Would you look at the one just above it? Videoing. About 2 years ago, we began videoing our services, not for the purpose of putting them online. We began by doing it for my sake, because to be behind a camera and videoing is a little bit, you got to change your mindset. And so we used to video for a long period of time to get to the point where I was no longer conscious of the fact that we're being videoed, the fact that we're going live stream, the fact that we're on YouTube or internet or Facebook. I had to do that for me. We did it for a while, got unconscious, we stopped it. Back March, we had a major learning curve shift, as did a pile of the world. We set a camera up. Some of you, we took pictures because someday we're going to show it in the archives, the Museum of Solid Rock. You will remember that we had a music mic stand that was right here. We had a plastic Tupperware cup. It was a one cup holder we had stuck inside. We put a cord through it. We taped, duct taped a phone to it. And then we had a stack of chairs that had a monitor right here. That was our technical videoing service. If you watched our service online, that's how we did it. We improved since then. We removed the plastic cup. But part of what we have done, and I want to tell you this, it was years ago that we had people come and say, I want to tell you what the Lord has said. The Lord has said, you guys in this church, your services and message will begin to be broadcast internationally. I cannot tell you how many times we've heard that. I hear that, I tuck it away. It's like, you know what? If that's going to happen, the Lord's going to have to do it. All of a sudden, March comes and we're forced to go online, and all of a sudden, in the first 2 weeks, we've got over 2,000 hits of people watching our services. That we don't have 2,000 people here, but that happens. You know how that happens. I'm going to talk to you about TikTok on Wednesday. Our services now, even though we have stopped, even though we are back, we have felt led to continue to record all of the messages, put them on YouTube. We're behind some because we've had to edit. We're going back. All of them will be on YouTube, but it requires the filming and requires the editing. How many of you have ever filmed and edited before? Just raise your hand. Filmed and edited. Raise your hand. Yep. How many of you have never done that before? Never. Never. How many of you have ever done something you've never done before? Just wanted to check and make sure all of you did. I would like you to pray about whether or not you would be able to be a part of our filming ministry, our editing ministry, moving in, learning how to do that. We teach and train all of that so that this can be continually done. It just doesn't happen, just doesn't get there because we want it. There's a whole process behind it, and it requires a part of the body to do it. I would like you to pray about that. One last one. Parking attendant. How many of you believe that this church will remain the same size until Jesus gets back? How many of you believe that? One. How many of you believe that in these days, as we become more outreaching, as we are reaching our Jerusalem, as we are discipling babies, as we are going out and inviting people in, that this family is going to grow? How many of you believe this family is growing? We all do. I want to tell you, we know that we're getting to a place where when vehicles come in, our own people are going to be ushered to the back of the church and will park along the church and will park up on the hill. They will come through the back door, because I will never forget the first year we came here in 1994, we came, there was 20 people in the church. Within a few month period of time, we had 60 people inside Little Gardner Music Hall. That place was designed for about 45. We had a meeting because there were people coming in. We were getting squishy. We had a meeting, and we said, in order to accommodate new people, when new people come in, if they're sitting close and scrunched, they don't feel welcome. Do you know that? If their chair is too tight in, if they feel too tight in, they don't feel welcome. That discomfort will keep them away. We had a meeting, and we said, this is what we're going to do. The first four rows of the front, because new people never come to the front. New people never come to the front. What we said is this. The front rows, we are going to make it so that there is only about 2 inches between your knees and the row in front. The first four rows, we're going to make them incredibly tight. After that, we're going to make about four rows that have decent space. And after that, we're going to open some up for young families with children so they can sit at the back, so they could be all noisy and whatever back there. But if you are a part of this church, the ushers are going to bring you and sit you in the first four rows so that you can be uncomfortable while the new people come and they have comfort. They don't know a thing going on. We had a lady, she was 80, how much? 84, 85. She was sitting in the front, she was in the meeting. She said, Pastor Colin. She said, you've already got us. Don't do anything in this church to make us comfortable. Do whatever you have to do to make the new people comfortable. She goes, us, we're already done. She goes, I will come and sit in that front row with 2 inches. I will do that. Don't do this for me. You do it for the new. This was a senior lady in the church. You know what most seniors, you know what their attitude is? Make me comfortable. Turn the music down. Sing my favorite hymn. Put me on a padded pew so I can sleep. Do you know any older people who it's all about me? Do you know them? They love that worship song. It's all about me. That's a great senior song. Can I tell you, it's not a senior song? It's an attitude song. There are young people like that. There are middle-aged people like that. There's older people like that. But can I tell you, there's other people who go, this is not about my comfort. This is about reaching the lost. This is about making the new person comfortable. This is about doing whatever we have to do. So if we need to be uncomfortable, we'll do that. Oh, serious? I can no longer park in the front of the church and walk 7 steps into the door. I might have to go to the back of the church and park and have to walk around so the new people can park there? Oh my goodness. Yes! Unless your mentality is, make me comfortable. It's about my convenience. It's not about reaching the lost. It's about making me comfortable till Jesus comes back. That doesn't work in growing churches. I'll tell you what almost all of you know. There has been a pile of words that have been spoken over this church and its purpose in Camrose, its purpose in Alberta, Canada, and even beyond internationally. There have been a pile of prophetic words that I believe we are entering into the season where they're going to begin manifesting. Parking attendance sounds like a very small thing, but can I tell you? When we start having 300 or 400 people show up, and all of a sudden all the streets are lined up, we're going to be having people out there going, this is where you go. Can we direct you? Can we show you? We're going to make it most comfortable. Do you know churches with 10, 20, 30,000? They have staff of 50 and 80 in the parking lots guiding people. I want you to pray about it. I want to encourage you as we are stepping into this brand new year. I want to encourage you to think about the pictures of the chairs in the front with two people holding all five of them and the other eight doing nothing. I want you to get a picture. Either we're going to be a wheelchair church or we're going to be a church that has no handicaps and we're running doing what God calls. I want you to get a picture that we are moving the barn of the church and either 80% have their pole in the ground and the 20% are struggling and burning out, or else 100% are picking that sucker up and make it look so easy walking across the lawn and turning this whole building around going, holy smoke, have you ever seen a church where every person knows their part and they're doing it? Most people go, no, never seen that. Let me say this, I believe in miracles. If I can change, that's a miracle. If I can stop empowering my children to be irresponsible and empower them to be responsible so it does not all fall on the 20% of my wife, if that can change, I believe in miracles. And if it can change in my home, it can change in the church. Until, like Paul said, every member of the body knows its part, is mature, and is functioning in it. All right? Any questions before we end? Ken? Yeah. Let me just answer the question. I asked it before, and I said, why is it every year the question is, why don't you hire a janitor? Can I tell you why? We've all heard it. When you pray together, you stay together. Can I also tell you, when you work together, you build relationship? Back in 2007, there were 47 of us built a house in Camrose in order to go on the Israel trip. Those who were a part of building that house built relationship that when we got on that trip, those relationships were incredible, turned the trip into something different that if we'd have just hired someone, sold it, and went on the trip without those relationship building, would have never happened. Cleaning the church is just a front in order to build relationship with the people you're doing it with. That's all it is. That's why we don't hire a janitor. You're right. For them, it's all about relationship. Judy. Yes. Yeah. So new families that have new babies, arranging for food, arranging for babysitting, arranging for whatever, helping them over that period of time. Can I just say again, I want to thank you. About 4 weeks ago, Malachi was in here, and he asked the congregation to pray for Lisa, who'd been having some difficulties in her pregnancy. I want to thank you for praying, for the answers to those prayers. But as a result of that, some of you went beyond and began showing up with meals and began blessing them. Can I say bless you for that? Bless you for that. That's huge. You can tell a child is maturing when they think past themselves to the needs of their siblings. You can tell they're maturing. The selfish child thinks only about themselves. It's the parent's job to teach beyond that. And I just want to say, bless you. Some of you, incredible blessing to my son and daughter-in-law. But we experienced that in a pile of areas. Many of you have experienced that, pile of areas. That's totally what it includes, Jude. Anybody else? Would you bow with me? Father, we have been talking for a long time as you have brought to revelation that we are a people who want to be led by you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you have released a grace for this body to function 100-100. You have destroyed the 80-20. You have destroyed the cinema mentality, the movie theater mentality. And you brought us to a place where, Father, we are wanting to know the part of the body. We are wanting to be mature in our area, functioning in order for this barn, this body, this family to do what you've called it to do. As we step into this new year, Holy Spirit, all we are asking is that with every member of this body, you would speak. You would show, you would guide, you would direct, you would reveal where it is you are wanting us to be involved, doing our part of the body, accomplishing the purpose and call of this church. I thank you again that when we hear from you, we will move. We will change. We will respond. It is never the voice of a man that we respond to, but Father, your voice will change everything. And so I ask in these next couple of weeks, Father, with every one of us in here, every person under the sound of my voice, where you are, we will wait upon you for your direction as to where we can be a part of this body so it functions 100-100. And I thank you in advance for the health of this body. I thank you that you are bringing us to a place where we will be faithful with the call and accomplish your purpose in these days. I declare to you today what you already know. As a child of God, the Lord has blessed you, and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you, and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you full of his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have an awesome week.